Welcome to Continuum, this program about early music. I'm Milton Sherman Jr. and with me is Taya St. Julian. Our program today has a simple name, for instruments only. So there will be no voices, no other forms of music except instruments and instruments of the medieval and Renaissance period. Actually, we'll be listening to music from four different instruments: the organetto, which I'll explain in a few minutes, the viola da gamba, and the recorder. I think everyone has at one time tried or plays the recorder, and finally, the Renaissance lute. We're going to begin with the organetto. The name does suggest that organetto means a small organ, which it really is. And I think out of all of the four instruments that we'll listen to today, the organetto is perhaps the oldest of the four. And the reason I say this is because looking back at early manuscripts, I think I did see as early as the 11th century an organetto, which is a small organ, and this organ is so small that it fits on the lap of the player, so that you play with one hand, generally the right hand, and then you pump the bellows on the back of the organ with the left hand. Actually, we own an organetto, and actually I built it myself based upon one of the images in that 11th century manuscript that I mentioned. So we're going to listen to the organetto, and the organetto is being played by a French organettoist, I guess you would call that, Christophe Deslignes, and he will be accompanied by Thierry Gaumard on percussion, and Thais will tell us what we're going to hear.
We'll hear the Estampito in Pro by that famous anonymous composer, this one of the 14th century.
Thank you.
A medieval dance called the estampita, this one referred to as the estampita in pro by an anonymous 14th century composer, played on the organetto there by Christoph Deslignes. And again, the organetto is a small, believe it or not, lap organ where you pump the bellows with the left hand and play the notes on the instrument with your right hand, small enough to put into your lap and hence called the organetto. Our program today for instruments only, and we featuring four instruments. That was number one. Number two is the viola da gamba. Viola da gamba is a stringed instrument which is bowed and looks very much like a cello. It's a preceding instrument before the cello, and it is bowed in an underhanded fashion with the right hand, and the name viola da gamba means the viol of the leg. And what that refers to is that the instrument is grabbed between the legs, between the knees of both legs, and it can be moved left and right and tilted forward or backward while you're bowing with your right hand underhanded to accompany yourself with the number of strings. It has more strings than your cello. Usually it has six strings. Some of them actually have eight strings. So you do have to twist the instrument a little bit. And also it has no end pin like the cello does, which sticks on the floor and keeps it in one position. You have to really hold on to it with your knees of your legs, and that's why it's called the viol of the legs, or the viola da gamba. We're going to hear a group of pieces that Thais will tell us about, and this viola da gamba, by the way, it does come in a family. You can have soprano, alto, tello, tenor, and bass, and I assume the one he's playing on that we're going to listen to is a bass viola da gamba. And his name is John Dornenberg, and Thais will give us the pieces.
Right. These pieces for the viol seul, that's one instrument only, an allemande, courante, sarabande, ballet, and chaconne. The pieces were created by Le Sieur de Saint-Colombe. He was alive and well in the 17th century.
Thank you.
the Viola da Gamba there, a sweet Allemande Courant Sarabande Ballet, and Chacon, played by John Dornenburg. And again, the Viola da Gamba, an early bowed stringed instrument. The name again means viol of the legs, because the instrument is grasped between the legs by the knees, and you can turn it and twist it and push it forward or backward to accompany bowing all of those strings, which is bowed underhanded. Our program today for instruments only, featuring four early instruments. We already had the organetto, and we had the viola da gamba. The next instrument, everyone knows. I think everyone either has played it in school or tried to play it or now does play it, and that is the recorder. The recorder being an early form of the flute, it's end-blown rather than side-blown as the common everyday flute now. Recorder being made out of wood, and we're going to be listening to a quartet, actually called the Flanders Recorder Quartet et al., which means they have some additional players along with them. We have one piece by the Flanders Recorder Quartet, and Thais?
The piece is a saltarello, which is, by the way, a dance, the composer anonymous.
Thank you.
the so-called Flanders Recorder Quartet there, and friends. We heard recorders, and we also heard some plucked stringed instruments, along with a lot of percussion. Our program today is for instruments only. We do have one instrument remaining, and that is the Renaissance lute. And we're going to have a few selections on the Renaissance lute. By the way, the lute is was a type of instrument that was preceded by the Arabic oud. The main difference between the oud and the lute is that the oud was not fretted on the fingerboard, but the lute was fretted on the fingerboard and contained more strings than the oud. Thais will tell us what we're going to hear played on the Renaissance lute, played by Rod McFarlane.
We have a number of pieces left for you to hear. A Forlorn Hope Fancy by John Dowlin, an Anonymous Green Sleeves, another Green Sleeves by Francis Cutting, and John Come Kiss Me Now, this by Anonymous. Thank you.
Thank you.
And our final selection by Ron McFarlane on the Renaissance Lute, Joan, Come Kiss Me Now. Hope you've enjoyed our four instruments today.
We want to thank you for joining us for this program of Renaissance Music. We look forward to having you again with us next week for another hour of early music. Stay well.